Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy Podcast. This week, we are on fire. Little Alabama, going back, old school, mountain music. You guys ready to do this album?
Yes, sir, I'm ready. How about you, Anthony? You have a tagline for us this week?
I actually don't, but how about play me some mountain music? It's the Audible Ecstasy Podcast.
It's pretty basic, man. You couldn't wow. Wordsmith something.
If you hear dueling banjos, run. Play me some mountain music.
There you go. That's better. That's better. Right, yeah, that makes sense. That's much better, actually.
Jesus, that's a good one, man. All right. All right,
that's
man.
That's words of wisdom right there, folks. You hear dueling banjos, run.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's get this thing started. Track number one, mountain music. Hit it, Chris.
Cause that's where music has to start. Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway. Hey, hey.
So mountain music, guys. Alabama opens this album up with an absolute killer track. I can only imagine what the country music was thinking when this album dropped, especially back in 1981-82. I mean, this song is basically a perfect representation as to what 80s country music was. I think it's so perfectly written and performed, immediately recognizable from the moment the first beat drops. The Alabama harmonies all right, place. This song is absolute Alabama perfection. I gave this one a 10. Chris?
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with any of that. It's definitely a staple in the early 80s country. You know, I like the way that all three of the singers get a chance to, you know, be lead singer on this song. That doesn't happen very often with these guys. So, I mean, obviously Randy's, you know, he's smooth as silk, but those other guys, they got decent voices too, so it's good that they get their turn on this one. I didn't know where to pull the clip, really. I kind of wanted to get that last part where it goes into the hoedown mode, you know. But it seemed to, I don't know, as good a place as any, I guess, to pull the clip. But yeah, I agree with you, man. This is an easy 10. I mean, I'd be shocked if this is an authority with the group here, so.
Yeah. All right, Anthony, your thoughts? Mountain music.
From Wikipedia, surprisingly, there's no song facts on any of this stuff. Which is weird.
It's probably because it's country music.
And they had about 12 of their other songs, but none of these songs are on there. So,
oh, wow. That's weird.
Wikipedia, mountain music is a song melding the southern rock and bluegrass genres, has variously been described by country music writers as a modern country classic, and a song that practically defined what country groups have strived to accomplish. According to Randy Owen's book, Born Country, mountain music took 3 years to write. He wanted to put his childhood experiences into a song. And it says the song references Chert Rocks, which according to the band is one song lyric that is commonly misheard. And released in January of 82, Mount Music became Alabama's sixth number one song on Billboard Magazine's Hot Country Singles chart. The same week, the Academy of Country Music named the group the top vocal group and entertainer of the year. It says to date, Mount Music remains one of the group's most popular songs. So I guess you guys can kind of, you know, not big surprise there. Hearing that information. Yeah, man, this is a great way to lead an album in. It's honestly, I think, one of the better album openers we've ever had on this podcast. I mean, it's up there in the top probably 10 of album openers we've had on this podcast. Oh, nice. It's an incredible tune. Gets the foot tapping, easily singable, catchy chorus, band's on point, harmonies are top notch. And I'm glad you catch that warp speed part of the song, too. I always like the way it kicks into that warp speed. And yeah, it's a 10. It's perfection. So
awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's move us up to track number 2. Close Enough to Perfect. Hit it, Chris.
Now she's been known to wear her pants too tight, and drinking puts her out just like a lie. Heaven knows she's not an angel, but she'd really like to be. And that's close enough to perfect for me. She kisses me each morning and smiles a sleepy smile. And she don't have to say it, I can see it in her eyes. Don't you worry about my woman or what you think she ought to be. Close enough to perfect for me.
Oh, man. All right. This is the first song on this record that I do find myself kind of torn how to score it. I mean, it obviously is a single. Slow down from the powerhouse opening song that we just had. Third single, like I said, I mean, it's basically a love song to his special woman, this guy's life, his wife, and excellent through and through. Lyrically, it's appreciating his wife. I think it's easy to sing along, easy to sit back, close your eyes, and appreciate what you're hearing all at the same time. I was torn between outstanding and perfection. I don't know if this is perfection or not, but I think it's an outstanding tune. I stuck a 9 on this one, and that's where I'm going to stand for now. Chris, what did you think about Close Enough to Perfect?
When you said you were torn, I was expecting you maybe come in low. I didn't know the way you were talking about.
No. I didn't know if it was going to be like a 10. It's darn bad. Near perfection. That's what I'm saying. Close Enough to Perfect is a 9, so I'm going to go with a 9.
Okay. You know, I was going to, when I'm listening to some of this music on this album here recently, it can't help but, like, it kind of puts me in a mindset, you know, of, like, I can remember, I have this vague memory in my mind. The family had a station wagon back in the 70s, and I can remember riding in the front seat of that station, like, in the middle, probably like a lap belt, no, like, car seat. That was way before any of that crap, you know, but it was just, like, lap belt between my parents in the front seat listening to, like, 70s radio. And this feels like when I hear a song like this, it just puts me back in that place and time. If that makes sense to you guys, I don't know. It's just I was driving home the other night and it was raining some this week and it was dark and I like had this plan and I had, you know, just the lights and windshield wipers going. It's just, it felt kind of like back in that time. I don't know. It was strange. That said, okay. So for this song, it definitely grew on me over the week. I don't think it's as good as the other two singles on this album, but I think it's a pretty good song. It is slightly dated a little bit, but not in a bad way. I've said that in the past. It just kind of puts you in the time frame that you're in when I say something's slightly dated. I give it 7.5. I think it's between great and excellent, but yeah, I mean, I don't think it's anywhere near Mountain Music or the other single on this album.
Fair enough. All right, Anthony, Close Enough to Perfect.
Hold on a second. It's a Wikipedia says a pop styled ballad Close Enough to Perfect was Alabama's eighth number one song in the fall of 1982. So they have eight songs in that year, eight number one songs.
No, it's our eighth one they released. It went to number one.
Okay. I was trying to figure out what that meant exactly. Because they had eight number one songs in the fall of 82. That's a ridiculous amount of number ones, man.
So they're adding up on that.
So, but according to the backstory of the song, according to Carl Chambers, who wrote the song, the title came about during a day of installing strips of wood on the Bellamy Brothers bus. I'd pick one, and she, his wife, Nancy, would find something wrong with it. This would happen several times until he, exhausted with frustration, would look at her and say, "It's close enough to perfect for me." He then stopped what he was doing to go write that down because he thought it would make a good title for a song someday. So that's according to Wikipedia.
That's what the song's about.
Another song that relies on a nagging wife to get the lyrics written. I love it.
Sounds like Mrs. Bellamy was a Karen back in the day.
It wasn't actually Mrs. It wasn't Mrs. Bellamy.
It was Carl's wife, wasn't it?
It was Carl's wife.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
According to Wikipedia.
They just saw the Bellamy Brothers. Oh, my God.
He finally had enough of his wife's shenanigans. Like, it's close enough to perfect, damn it. Just wait a minute.
I've had enough.
That's great.
I'll be right back. We'll finish this in a minute.
Oh, but you know, it's an amazing ballad, man. Randy sounds great on vocals. Band's on point. I love that Eagles harmony towards the end of it together when they come together. You know, I've known this song for a long time, so I've always enjoyed it. So it's a 9. It's an outstanding for me too. I thought about Perfection as well for this one because of like the 3 or 4 on this album that I knew.
Yeah,
this is one I knew pretty well when I heard it. So I was like, I remember that song. So, yeah. I mean, I grew up on country radio back in the 80s, so it seemed like it was always on somewhere around me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good point on the harmonies, too. I had that in my notes, forgot to say it, but yeah, I agree. These guys harmonize very well.
You know, I was going to mention it later on, but since we're kind of at this point, I was kind of thinking about this week. You had the Beatles in the 60s, the Eagles in the 70s, and I think Alabama in the 80s, and they all sort of did that sort of same thing, and they kind of played off each other in different genres. I wasn't really sure where that was going, but I like that idea of thinking of, yeah, this band, like all four members who could sing in the Beatles, all the members of the Eagles could sing, now, three of the Bama guys could sing, and it was kind of unique. You don't see a lot of bands, Kiss did that too a little bit, but you don't see a lot of bands where so many members can actually put out a song and make it sound really good, you know? So,
well, I agree. Good point, yeah. Man. Good
yeah. Lord. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really sure where that point was going to go. I just kind of liked that comparison to all those bands. I was like, you know,
I was at Thanksgiving dinner with my wife's family on obviously Thanksgiving Day, and I was asked what we're reviewing this week by a couple of them, and I told them. And Jesse, the guy who's been on our podcast a couple of times, he said, "Outstanding album." Well, his dad's there, and his dad goes, "Alabama has some of the best harmonies ever existed." And I was like, I said, "Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more." And he's like, he goes, "You think of Alabama, you think of them in lines of," now he listened to a lot more religious music, like the Gaither Brothers and things like that, Statler Brothers. He compared it to them. And so there's another similar genre, but different genre that has harmonies like you wouldn't believe. So because I remember listening to the Statler Brothers when I was a kid, you know, back in the
Boys.
Oak Ridge Boys, another one he brought up them as well. So Alabama was in a long line of just simply great musicians that could sing. All of them have the same vocal styles, and that's what makes it so magical, like the Eagles, like the Beatles. When they harmonize, it just does something, and it's so great.
I just noticed those harmonies with Alabama this week, too. It was like, it's a very Beatle-esque, Eagle-esque kind of harmony, you know. It sounds really, really good.
They're there, and many, many songs will bring it out. But, all right, we'll move this forward. Track number 3, Words at 20 Paces. Chris?
Just like a Western movie, a challenge has been made. A shot was fired in anger, and pride stepped off the train. Won't we ever stop this killing me and you till our hearts are up on Boot Hill and there's nothing we can do? Words at 20 paces, hey. off our happiness and run hope out of town with words at 20 paces. Lord, it's love we're gunning down.
How did we yeah, the harmonies, man. They're in this one as well. Yes, I love the nice dark guitar lick that starts the song off. The theme of that Western duel, I love how that rings throughout the tune. But it's at the point, it's coming from the point of view of a couple on the verge of breakup, and it's such perfectness. I mean, arguments start by somebody saying something, and the next thing you know, it can be escalated or it can be de-escalated. And I mean, the song is just, it's a perfect country. I mean, it's a great country song. I mean, that's all there is to it. May not be as great as the first two tracks we heard, but I do think this song is still, I still think the song is great, to be honest with you. I gave this one a 7. This is one that grew on me. I remembered it, but I couldn't, I'm at a 7. I think it's a great song, man. Lyrically great. It's a good one, man. It just makes you smile. I'm 7. Chris, what'd you think?
It's my sleeper of the night, man. It's my
no kidding.
I think it might be my. I don't know if it's my favorite song on the album, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, man.
That's awesome.
And you know, I mentioned last week you said something about Buffett, and I was like, well, what the album next week's got a few songs on there that totally this remind one, me yeah. of him. This feels so much like a late 70s, early 80s Buffett song.
The Riddles in the Sand kind of Buffett sound.
I wrote Desperation Song, but it kind of, for some reason, yeah. that song kind of like rings with me on this. It's such a clever, well-written song. Like you said, man, those harmonies just perfect.
Yeah.
Such a singable chorus. I mean, I never heard this song before 2 weeks ago, and like I can sing the chorus now, like without even batting an eye. You know, yeah. Definitely one of my favorites on the album. I'm going to give it a 9. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Anthony, what'd you think about Words 20 Paces?
Opening line is hidden gem on this album.
Yeah,
maybe a hidden gem for the band. I was looking up Setlist FM, and I don't think their numbers are completely accurate because Mount Music has probably been played more than 130 times. But something like that, something crazy like that.
I would agree.
But they said this song had been played once in concert, and I can almost believe that. It feels like one of those songs that you never hear by them, and you're like, if it's that low, man, it really is a hidden gem. So, but who knows?
I would guess if you looked at all the recorded, you know, this tour, I bet there's nothing captured, because like I almost guarantee they played this on this tour anyway, man.
Yeah, at least I'm just a few times. Yeah,
I'm amazed some of these bands who actually have stats from the 70s and 80s, but
yeah.
I think maybe their audience is just better at it. So,
dude, probably. Yeah,
you know, but. You know, what I love about this song is the way Hugh Moffat, who wrote it, he took this Old West theme and then sort of put it into this relationship, like Jimmy was saying. It's just a really unique and cool concept that I've never heard before. So that automatically gave me a lot of, bumped it up for me a lot because of that, because I love a clever song. And that dirty guitar is just so good. The way it ebbs and flows. Musically, it's just great. I mean, I give it a 9 too. I think it's an outstanding tune.
Wow, dude, I must have came in super low.
You
wow.
need to reassess on that one, Jimmy. This is man,
it is a good song,
dude.
For sure. It's definitely it's a hidden gem for sure.
Highlight
right?
for me.
Right. I feel terrible. Oh my god, probably brought this score
you should.
Down.
Yeah, you
should. All right, let's go to track.
Apologize right now.
I'm sorry. Bring up track 4. It's called "Changes Coming On," Chris.
From Atlanta, Dr. King told the world he had a dream. People followed him. Daddy said my hair was getting long. I could feel changes coming on. People started saying,
coming So Change is coming on. I like the nice acoustic opening in this song. Randy Owen absolutely singing his heart out. I mean, his voice is so identifiable in country music. The harmonies, my God. I mean, that man's got a backup group that is just outstanding, that just complement his voice so well. I mean, it's a sad tune about the times, different times in history, talking about how things changed, maybe for the better, maybe not for the not so bad, much better. You talk about generational swings in time. And, you know, that I mean, it really is a historical tune, just a journey down through history. The writers of this song, which Anthony, you may know who they are. I really didn't know any of their names. I looked at them, and I mean, this group, they really put in some homework on this one. I think, what can you say? So many changes, my 50 years I've witnessed over the years. I mean, this is crazy, guys. It's like foretelling of what, you know, how things happen and how it just never stops. Man, the changes, some very good, some not so much. But I still think the song's very good. I gave it a 6. And it's just for the harmonies alone, just for the 6. I mean, it's just, they're incredibly vocals are just outstanding. I mean, but 6, I'm at a very good. Chris, what do you think about Changes coming on?
Yeah, it's a very thoughtful song, very introspective kind of tune, I guess. Kind of feels like a Bob Dylan song lyrically, I mean, as far as that goes.
Absolutely could do that.
Very solid lyrically. And I think Randy sounds good, and again, harmony's fantastic. Something that I kind of took note of just listening to that clip back, instrumentally, it's understated, but man, those guys do a great job instrumentally on this stuff. You can kind of hear that Telecaster in the background.
Awesome guitarist, dude. Yeah, Jeff Cook.
Yeah, it's just it's exactly what it needs to be for the song. You know what I mean? It's not over the top. It's just it flows right in with the lyrical content. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I think it's great. I gave it a 7.
Yep. Oh wow. Okay, Anthony, what you think about Changes coming on?
Yeah, I wrote that it's another solid tune that works, and you know I like the message in the song that change is always going to come. Might as well try and embrace it and be a part of it. Even if it's tough, don't give up on who you are, but just try and grow as the world grows around you. So I kind of like that message behind it. Like, yeah, there's just, you know, time's going to keep moving. Change is going to keep coming. Just deal with it. Be yourself, but deal with it, you know. And I really like that message. So, and, you know, once again, musically, the band, rock solid, vocals are top notch. It gets very repetitive at the end. I don't know why they kept going on at the end like that.
Yeah.
That is its only true negative. And I don't know if it's one of those time things like, guys, we've got 2 minutes left on the tape. We need something to feel. It's like, well, just keep singing the damn lyrics over and over again.
Man, it's a 7-minute song. It's crazy, dude. It didn't need to be 7 minutes. You're absolutely right.
This could have been a five-minute song.
Nowhere near it. Nothing
else. It just feels like one of those time things from back in the day when they had a certain amount of tape, certain amount of this, where you had to get a certain amount of time in. And it feels to me like maybe that's what they were doing, just trying to fill time. I really do. Because, you know, they can't. You know, when today you can do anything, but back then you were limited to what you had. So I just wonder if that was the issue. But
could have been, man.
Other than that, it's a 7 for me, too. I think it's a great tune. Really, really like it. Might have went a little low on it, but I think it's 7. It's a great tune.
It's great. It all works. It's fair, I think.
Yeah, fair score, man. All right, let's go to track 5, Green River. Chris.
Yeah.
All right, Green River. First of all, great cover. Alabama really does this song justice. I mean, it's rocking out at the same time showing respect to the original CCR version. Harmonies are in place. Different lead singer this time. Guitarist Jeff Cook singing this. He absolutely kills it. His voice is so perfect for this song. Mm-hmm. It's got that twang to it. Rivet, that's funny. You know, it is such a good representation of what CCR put out, you know, 10 years prior or whatever it was, maybe even 15 years. I can't remember what year this song
early
came out.
Early 70s, probably.
Early 70s or very late 60s. It was during the Vietnam War, right?
Yeah, maybe late 60s.
So, nonetheless, I am usually pretty harsh on people that cover excellent songs to begin with. Man, I can't be too harsh on this one. I think they did an excellent job. I gave this one an 8. I can listen to this one over and over again. Chris, what did you think about Green River?
I was a little surprised to hear a cover song from these guys. They're very, by this point in their career, very self-sustainable, you know what I mean? I don't really know why they...
I wonder if this was a sound check song that turned into a recording.
They did crush it. I mean, you're 100% right about that. Yeah. I mean, they absolutely did a tremendous... Jeff Cook, again, mostly he's a Randy, but Jeff, he did his thing here, and he sounded fantastic doing it. I've never noticed on the Fogerty version, does he say ribbit in that point? I've never noticed that before.
I don't think he does, but I'll go
back and listen to that.
Maybe I just never caught it.
Yeah. It's probably his own little tweak.
I mean, honestly, it's one of my favorite CCR songs. I've always loved this song. And I think they do a great job covering it. I went 7 because I think it's great and it's a cover and I don't really know why they're doing covers, but not trying to be critical or anything. It's just like these guys, but that said, I mean, they do a really good job with it and I would never skip it. I'd listen to it every time it came on. So I don't know. I wrote a 7. So I'll stick with that. Yeah.
That's definitely does. Anthony, what'd you think about Green River?
According to Wikipedia, Green River is a song by Creedence Clearwater Revival, in case nobody knew that. It was written by John Fogerty and released as a single in July of 1969. So there's your answer, 1969. One month before the album of the same name was released. Peaked at number 2 for 1 week behind Sugar Sugar by the Archies and was ranked as the number 31 song of 1969 by Billboard magazine. So got some good cred. The song was based on a childhood vacation spot of John Fogerty's. In an interview Fogerty gave to Rolling Stone, he stated, "What really happened is that I used a setting like New Orleans, but I would actually be talking about things from my own life. Certainly a song like Green River, which you may think would fit seamlessly into the Bayou vibe, but it's actually about the Green River. As I named it, it was actually called Poutah Creek by Winters, California. It wasn't called Green River, but in my mind, I always sort of called it Green River." So it wasn't based on a song, an actual Green River. It was another creek, but still, it's interesting where inspiration comes from sometimes. I think this is an awesome cover of the song. And it proves that Alabama can play rock, country, easy listening pop, you name it, and sound great. Digging this tune a lot. It's just a jam from start to finish. And Dancing with My Kids in the Kitchen, what was on one day, was also a very highlight for me to this song. So. I give it a 9. It's an outstanding tune. So I love when a band can rip off a good cover. You know, Buffett was great at it for years. And I love when bands can just get a cover song and make it their own. And they did a great job with this one. So easily. One of the better songs on the album, I think, too. I mean, it's up there. It's a great, great song. So, digging it.
Agreed. All right, guys, let's go to track number 6, Take Me Down. Chris.
With me tonight, take me on a one-way flight in your loving arms, and everything's gonna be all right. You're the one who took my hand when no one else could understand. You're the one who me like nobody else can. Take me down where I wanna be. Turn around,
this man who lives inside of me. Take me down and love me all night long. Hold me close and make me strong. Take me down. Take me down.
All right. Take me down. Grab your lady and turn the lights down. It's happening. Man, this is a classic. I immediately smiled when I heard this again after so many years of not hearing it. I mean, I haven't listened to it in a very, very long time. Second single, and I can certainly see why. Easily, this song is so easy to get into. I mean, it just makes you smile when you listen to it. The harmonies, yet again, such a perfect, perfect match to Randy's voice. I can see why the song went to number one. It's absolutely outstanding in every sense of the word, but in my ears, this is Alabama perfection, country music perfection. I gave it a 10. Chris, what'd you think about Take Me Down?
Yeah, man, the harmonies off the charts on this one. I mean, yeah. The harmonies is what I wrote. Such a singable chorus there, and it's just in your head, like immediately as soon as you hear it. It's one of the two songs on this album that I knew immediately when I heard them. I know you guys are a little more versed in Alabama than me, maybe. I knew this immediately when I heard Nickel Course Mountain Music, too. Man, I tell you what, you swayed me, Jimmy. I had a 9.5 first, but man, you're right. This is absolute perfection. This is a 10. There's no question. And I love it. I don't think it's maybe quite as iconic as Mountain Music is, but you know what? It's still perfection in this genre. And it doesn't mean iconic anymore. It means perfection in the genre. Absolute standout on the album. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. I'll give it a 10.
Awesome. Anthony, what'd you think about Take Me Down?
Take Me Down is, it was released in May 1982 as the second single. My throat's bugging me again this morning. So, written by Exile Band members Mark Gray and J.P. Pennington, the song was originally recorded by Exile in 1980. The Exile version was released as a single, but failed to become a major hit. Although it reached number 102 on the U.S. Bubbling Under chart and number 11 in South Africa. However, it was not until Alabama released the song that it was the group's seventh number one in the country chart. In addition to its success on the country charts, the song fared modestly well on pop radio, reaching number 18 on the Billboard Hot 100. So, pretty big song for them, man. It's got a great beat, great groove, nice vibes spread all over it. It could easily have been on pop stations back in the day, or country. It could go either way. It's universal, sounds amazing. Love this tune. I give it a 9. I think it's outstanding, but I could easily bump it up to 10 too, you know what I mean? Because it's an incredible tune. But I'll stick with a 9 for now. But
that's fair. You were as swayed as me. Where Jimmy gave a good argument there, man.
I just don't want to screw up my rating. I've already got to add it up.
I've jockeyed you mine half point. So I'm just like,
God, you guys are killing me. Killing me. All right, let's go to track number 7. It's called You Turn Me On.
No one has been where you've gone in so long. Oh, baby, you turn me on. It's right into mine with perfection, time after time, and my world's where you must belong. 'Cause baby, you turn.
Made me drop my panties this morning, man.
Oh my God! All right. So
sorry, Dad, if you listen to this.
You dropped your granny panties.
you turn me on. All right, slow down, ladies. Slow down. Calm yourselves. Let me finish mine, please.
It's a Sunday morning, man. I can't be all hopped up.
All right, here we go, Hopper. It's a little bit of a slowdown. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just simply the song doesn't really grab me. Harmonies, my God, the harmonies are so good. But even with saying that, I can see myself skipping this one and not really missing it in the grand scheme of things. Song is still good. It never really grabbed. I don't know what it was. It just never grabbed me during this, you know, the past couple of weeks. And it wasn't one I really remembered over the years as much as many of the other songs on this record. Sorry about that. My cat just went nuts. Anyway, I see it to be good.
It's a song, man.
Nothing more. Yeah, nothing more than that. I gave it a 5. Chris, what do you think about You Turn Me On?
Chris's flush of the week.
I knew you'd be the asshole this week. I knew you would, Chris. It's a great song, man. What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, man. I knew Anthony'd be salivating all over this one.
Of course, man. My panties have been on the floor ever since I heard this song.
Yeah. Is that cat of yours a female? Jimmy, is that what it is?
It was a man. He got mad and went away. He's like, I can't take it. I can't take it.
These days, I guess it doesn't. It's a fluid thing. I don't know.
I could get a little blue here with the cat reference and this, but
let's keep it clean.
My dad may be listening to this. I probably should not say anything.
Keep it clean, sir.
Keep it clean, Anthony. Okay. For me, I mean, it's just okay. Actually, the harmonies, you're right. The harmonies are excellent in the chorus. I mean, but you know what? When are these guys not harmonizing excellent?
That's the thing.
I mean, that's
just
what it is.
You're right.
That when he's like, you know, whispering through there, oh, baby, you turn me. Yeah, come on, man. That's the worst part of this album. That's just all there is to it. I gave it a 5.5, which is generous, I think. But it's my lowest score tonight. So.
Fair enough. Anthony, tell us why we're wrong.
This is a 10.
Yeah, it is.
It's perfection on the panty dropper scale. Oh my God. Especially with Randy getting all sexy by the end of it. Now, personally, man, I do like this song. I enjoy it. I gave it an 8. This is an excellent tune. It's got a classic country sound to it that I like. I like that classic country sound. And all kidding aside, I really do like the way this song sounds. I mean, yes, Randy gets a little bit uncomfortable towards the end of it at times, but to say the least. But the song itself actually is a pretty daggone good song. I like the song. Just kind of by the end of it, you're kind of like, calm down, Randy.
Really, man? It's borderline creepy, you know? Like,
yeah, it's borderline. Yeah.
It's borderline. It really is. Just calm down. Calm down. You know, you're not home. Just calm down. But yeah, I still give it an 8. I think it's an excellent tune. I do like the way they sound doing classic country. They really do sound great doing classic country. So they can do no wrong, man. Pop, rock, country. They're great.
Yeah.
Can you say?
They are great. It's just, this was definitely the track that stands out.
I get it.
It's not as good in this album, in my opinion.
I knew this would be the one in this week that was going to be the one to be most divisive between us because you guys don't.
Honestly, there was two tracks that I had a problem with, but, you know, we'll discuss the other one here in just a moment. But
very soon, probably.
Very, very soon. Speaking of, let's go to the track number 8, Never Be One.
Big day is over, the cake is all gone. We sang you to sleep with the birthday song. No, you'll never be one again. The twos are tumbling on me. Daddy's little girl is growing up in the world. You'll never be one again.
The toy. All right, so let's clarify this before I get started.
Walk softly.
So Teddy Gentry wrote this song, so we get Teddy Gentry singing the song as well on this one right here, and he must have at the time had a daughter that had just turned 1. I could say this, it's absolutely lyrically a touching song. It's absolutely a great, it's a great way to pay or to show your love and respect to your daughter, your kid, writing a song and making it on a pretty much almost an iconic country music album. Just throw it out there. This is on an album that's well known by any country music fan for the most part. I do like the song. It's just, I had to be in the mood. I kind of wish I'd have heard this whenever my daughter was that young. I just forgot this song was on here. This is something I haven't revisited in a very long time, album wise. When I was listening to country music hardcore in the early 90s, I promise you, I was skipping this song every time because I was wanting the beer drinking, hail raising songs. That was my age. You know, that was the age I was, you know, barring it up or whatever. So nonetheless, this is one I would skip for sure. And now that I'm older and a dad, you know, I'm like, wow, this actually is lyrically touching. It's fantastic. But as a song, it drags a little bit to me. It's not that long. I mean, I think it's like 2 minutes and a half or something, but just never really grabbed me. I do think it's very good, though. I think it's better than the last song, but not by much. I gave this one a 6. Chris, what'd you think about Never Be One?
We go from dropping granny panties to singing about a one-year-old's panty dropper party or something. It's, if you it's quite different.
Drop,
you know,
the panties, a lot of times you will have a kid at one.
I guess that was a good point. I guess that's the natural progression of what's going on.
Here, nice progression on the album right there.
I mean,
so.
You take me down, you turn me on, now you got a baby. I mean, yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I'll be honest, that's exactly what
the
happened.
The producer
here
knew what he was doing on this one.
Song placement couldn't be any better.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. That's perfect, actually. Perfect song placement. Yeah. Okay, so let's get to this song. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, this is another kind of Buffett throwback in a way. This feel, because, you know, he did a few songs like this. You know, he did one when his daughter.
They didn't come off as sugary, though.
That's a good point. Is that just, I was thinking like Little Miss Magic, something like that. I mean, it's very
similar.
But
Little Miss Magic doesn't feel as sugary as this one does.
So you don't actually like this song, you're telling me.
Interesting.
That's,
no, I like this song.
I thought you'd give this
I
one
like
high
this
score.
Song, but yeah. What I'm saying is, not to talk over you, but I was thinking about this week with Buffett's Little Miss Magic or Delaney Talks to Statues. It never felt as sugary as this song did to me. But I don't know if it's because I'm a fan and that's why I don't feel that way to me, or if it just doesn't get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Just to interrupt, Delaney Talks to Statues is a far superior song to this. Better written.
As is Little Miss Magic, by the way.
I'm not comparing any apples to pineapples, basically. Okay. I'm not comparing that at all.
I got you.
I was just talking about the subject matter, by the way. I wasn't trying to say one's a better song than the other. Yeah.
Song itself never felt as sugary, either one of those, even though Buffett was singing about his kids. And even Beach House on the Moon, because it mentions Cameron in that one. But you know what I mean? As much as this one. This one just feels a little sugary. It might be the close of the song where you get the kid and all. It's like,
yeah, I agree.
That's
I agree.
A bit much.
It is a bit much. Well, I don't have much more to say. It's a very wholesome tune, if not slightly lame, is what I put. It's a 6 for me. Yeah.
All right, Anthony, talk to us.
Never well, 666, the number of the beast. I'll give it a 6 too. So, I give it a
6.5. It is.
I'm going 5.5. I'm sorry. Did I say 6? 5.5. That's what I meant.
But oh the thing is, I really love the message in the song, because I could see Teddy, is it Teddy Gentry who wrote it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct.
I know that feeling he's going through in this song when your kid hits those big milestones, and the first time they go to one, the first time they start walking, the first time they start doing anything, you're sitting there, I guarantee you, he just had this birthday party and he started realizing, crap, I've been on the road all these years. She just turned one. Yeah. I missed so much stuff. And she is really growing up. And then it just, light bulb, the song started playing. He started thinking about all the stuff he was going to do. So as a dad, it kind of gets me in the heart a little bit sometimes when I hear it. Because I'm like, wow, you know, I really feel what this guy's going through. But the song itself, probably better as a B-side. You know, on a single or something. Maybe something like that. But
agreed.
Props to the band for letting him have this song. I mean, that says a lot for the band. You know?
It does. It does.
It's like, we're making an album, but you can have this one shiny moment all to yourself. You know?
on a huge album, too. Yeah.
On a huge album. Yeah,
for so, real.
Anyways. I mean, maybe they didn't know at the time how big it would be, but.
Nah, they didn't.
All right. Anyways. Fair enough, kids.
So 6, 5.5, 6, right?
6.5, 5.5, and 6.
There you go.
All right, let's go to track number 9. Loving You Is Killing Me. Jeff Cook making his second lyrically and vocally sung song. Loving You Is Killing Me. It could have easily been a Bob Seger tune. I think this song is possibly a sleeper in my ears. I actually enjoyed this song with its shortcomings. I mean, it's a great one, lyrically great. The only downside I find is the keyboards. They are very abundant. They should have toned those back a little bit. I don't know. That's the reason why I was like, maybe it's just like the Bob Seger type sound they were going with on this, because it sounds very Bob Seger to me. I mean, that's the first thing that came to mind when I heard it. I was like, holy God, this is a Bob Seger tune, but, you know, obviously not. I do think the song gets stuck in your head. I think it's easily sing along with. It's overshadowed on this album by many, many excellent songs. I still think, I think it's great. I gave this one a 7. Solid tune. Chris, what'd you think about Loving You Is Killing Me?
This is a hard song to rate, I think. It is. There's things I really like about it and things that I'm like, okay, this is over the line. the synthesizer, right? I mean, it's just like, it doesn't fit with what Alabama does. But the chorus is very catchy, and it's just got a great hook to it, man. It just brings you in, you know? It's good call on Bob Seger. I didn't actually like make that connection, but I agree 100% with what you said on that. It doesn't feel country at all. I mean, you know, it's more like, I don't want to say southern rock, but more kind of like just, you know, 70s rock kind of sound and music. So I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I like it. I do. I probably wouldn't skip it if it came on. So I went 7 as well. But I don't know. It's weird, man. It's a tough one to, because it's one of these that there's things I really like about it and things I really don't like about it. But it's just kind of where I landed. Yeah.
Fair. Hey, man, it's solid score. All right, Anthony. Yeah. Maybe a little hot. Loving You Is Killing Me.
I get Dusty Hill vibes when I hear him sing.
Yeah.
He has a very Dusty Hill vibe.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good call, man. Absolutely. I can totally see that.
So, you know, man, it's what I write. Said moving from a ballad to an upbeat country rock song that works. Solid guitar work, very Dire Straits. Does sound very Dire Straits. Solid vocals, great beat, great groove. Get your body moving. I gave it a 7 too. I think it's a great tune. So,
all right, we're all about on the same page. That's fantastic. All right, let's close out the album with Gonna Have a Party. Chris.
Gonna have a party. A good time jamboree. Gonna have a party. Come on. Everybody's feeling right. Gonna have a party a week from Saturday night.
Well, thought I'd call you early. I thought you'd like to know.
There's gonna be a party, and I'd like for you to go.
And I just wanna give you time to get your story right.
There's gonna be a party, babe, and it might last all night. Gonna have a party, a good time jamboree. Gonna have a party. Come on along with me. Gonna have a good time, and everybody's feeling right. Gonna have a party a week from Saturday night.
right, guys. So first of all, what a great way to end an album. Going out with a bang, upbeat, just an upbeat, happy song. And you want to talk about, we always talk about bookends on albums. Open this album up with Mount Music, close this thing out, go and have a party. It kind of maybe just shows the mindset as they were recording this album. I mean, obviously, this is probably a celebration because they know they've got some home runs on this record, first of all. And don't get me wrong, you're rarely ever going to come up with better songs than Mount Music, Close Enough, Perfect, and Take Me Down all on the same record. Let's face it. I mean, that's three outstanding songs. To close this thing out in such a positive way, though, man, I mean, it gets your foot tapping, makes you want to get a drink in your hand and sit back and just chill, hang out, smile, enjoy your accomplishment, because that's what they've done here. They've accomplished an outstanding album. I find this to be somewhere between great and excellent. I gave it a 7.5. Chris, what did you think about Going to Have a Party?
Good point on the bookends, and something you didn't mention is they bookend it with two songs where all the guys take turns singing.
Yeah, take singing, yeah.
Which shows absolutely a lot about these guys, because Randy could be the kind of guy to be like, I'm a lead singer, you guys just know your place. But he's not like that. He gives them all a chance to shine. I really appreciate that about that guy. Yeah, this song kind of had, again, I hate to keep throwing it back because they're not really a lot like Buffett, but like this kind of had like a little Buffett vibe at the beginning of it, you know, like the way everybody's kind of like having, you know, the way this thing started. Weather's Here, Wish You Were Beautiful, something like that. Yeah, I don't know. It definitely had that feel to it. But I agree with you, man. This is a fun way to wrap an album up with again, the harmonies, catchy chorus. You can hear that Telecaster twang in the guitars, and you know, like I said, like it's understated, but it fits the music perfectly. The instrumental parts, 7.5 for me. Yeah,
awesome, Anthony. What do you think about Going to Have a Party?
Yeah, I wrote that. I like hearing the bass thumping in this one. Apparently, I could hear the bass pretty well. I don't know if it was because of my headphones, because they got a little extra bass to them, or not, but I did enjoy that part of it. I like the good time vibe of it too. You know, talking about good friends, adult beverages, good tunes. You know, it sounds like fun to me. So, I also do like the way the band all chimes in together. That's a pretty neat little trick. It's a decent way to close the album out, man. It's I like it. I give it a 7. I think it's a great tune. So, reminds me of that Van Halen song too. Was it on 5150? They were talking about at the end of that one.
Oh yeah.
One
dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that one.
That's what's coming down.
Yeah,
on the inside.
Where they're all kind of just jamming and having a good time. Kind
they're
of
all high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Was that on 5150?
It is. Last song on 5150. It sure is. Yeah. Unreal.
Incredible album.
Great album. Great album. All right, man. So I got some final thoughts. First of all, this album is actually a trip down memory lane. One of my dad's favorite 8-tracks. Back in the day, I remember it being on 8-track and then also eventually on cassette. The music has stuck with me over the years, although I haven't revisited the album as a whole in a very, very long time. A couple of these songs, especially toward the end, it seems like when I was a kid, I must have, or when I was younger, I really, all joking aside, I really was probably more in the faster-paced stuff than the slower-paced stuff on this record. I probably listened to the first 3 or 4 songs and skipped Changes Coming On and listen to Green River, Take Me Down, and then probably skipped on to Loving You and then Going to Have a Party, only because that was just my mindset in those days. And also, during those days, I remember having Alabama's Greatest Hits on CD, so I pretty much listened to that album more so than albums collectively by the band, and which it's outstanding. I mean, it's Greatest Hits, my God, you can't go wrong. Nonetheless, if there's anything to be grateful for, as we go back and review these older albums, especially ones that you're semi-familiar with, it's the memories that come with those albums. It's the memories of me riding out to the coal field or in my dad's semi whenever he drove a truck as we were listening to music like this. I mean, that's the stuff that really sticks in the back of my mind. Chris, you were talking about the station wagon rides. You know, that's the first thing I was thinking about is, you know, my dad would listen to stuff like Alabama, even, you know, earlier stuff than this. And yeah, God, just taking the ride out to the coal mines and then taking a ride out with him in the truck over the road, just kind of, you know, riding around. It was different, man. It brought me back to those days. And it also has some bad feelings because, you know, my parents went through a divorce and, you know, you go through that crap as a kid. It kind of messes with you a little bit. But nonetheless, it's a great trip down memory lane. It makes me appreciative of what I have, appreciated what I was raised with. Overall rating came out to be a 7.5. Guess what? I'm absolutely good with that because I think this album is somewhere between great and excellent. Theoretically, it might be rating higher than that. I did see that the ratings originally released by Rolling Stone gave it a 2 out of 5 star.
Really?
That's garbage.
What do they
dude.
Know, man? What do they know?
That's garbage. This is much better than anything Rolling Stone would have ever rated this record. So, nonetheless, I think it's well worth your time. It certainly is worth your trip down memory road if you have those early memories and a parent that was a country music fan, because I promise you this was on their playlist. Chris, what's your final thoughts?
You know, before I get into that Rolling Stone thing, they've been known to really whiff miserably on a review and then retroactively try to go back and fix it. I think they're a bunch of morons over there. I don't think they know what they're talking about.
I think they like really screwed up something. Like, did they not give like Born in the USA album by Bruce Springsteen like terrible ratings at one point in time?
Probably.
I mean, I think they did.
They try to be edgy, you know. I mean, I think, and then it falls flat sometimes. I don't know. Okay, back to this. Yeah, man, really good pick, Jimmy. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I actually kind of surprised me how much I enjoyed it throughout the week. I thought, hey, it's going to be fun, but I actually really got into it after a while. I thought, you know, this is a solid album. Obviously, two, to me, iconic songs, and several songs that could have been hits. Some really good underrated tunes. Like, I loved Words at 20 Paces. That was a standout for me. It's slightly dated in parts, but that's okay because, like I said, man, if you like the date that you're listening to, then that doesn't bother you. It's just a snapshot in time is all it is. Harmonizing-wise, one of the best groups we've listened to when it comes to their harmonies. These guys, they nail it. And like I mentioned at the end of that last song, I like the way Randy doesn't seem to have an ego at all and lets everybody shine in this band. Do you see John Bon Jovi letting the rest of these guys have songs? No, it's not that way. I mean, it's not to pick on John, but you know what I mean. Like a lot of these hair metal guys we listen to, that would not happen in their bands. But
I don't think John was as bad as some of the other ones, though.
Maybe. I don't know. His first name came to mind. But
Tom Kiefer, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Regardless. Man, these guys... It was a solid listen, enjoyed. It's one of these you enjoy while you're driving. It just, you kind of get lost in the lyrics and the songs. I came out with a 7.7 when I scored it up, and I'm good with that.
Yep. All right.
Fair enough, man. Anthony, what are your final thoughts?
Great pick, Jimmy, is what I said at opening. Glad we didn't do Sawyer Brown. I think this was a much better choice.
I agree, 100%.
Nothing against Sawyer Brown. They've had some amazing songs, but...
I can't see that whole album being as solid as this one.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
You know, I grew up listening to the songs of Alabama, mostly on the radio. I wrote they were a staple of my musical diet when I was a child. I mean, I know most of these songs I knew so well. And those songs brought back great memories. And I could easily recommend it just for that reason. But it's also a great album, great songs, great tunes. Just turn it on and kind of just enjoy it for what it is. It's a thumbs up for me, and might be the first time I've ever come in under you guys for a rating. 7.4 for me.
That's surprising.
Between great and excellent. So I don't know what happened there. So I don't think I've ever come under as the bottom one. So that's...
You must have been in a mood when you reviewed this week, man, because that's very unlike you to come in lower than us on anything ever.
I don't know what happened.
Especially this is like classic country, man. I'm really surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, I think maybe it just was those last three, a 6, 7, and a 7. Maybe that's what kind of did it. I don't know. You know, I didn't have a 10 on one of those two that you guys had a 10. So yeah, but it was only like a point from Jimmy's. Jimmy's a 7.5, so it wasn't that far off. But
true. Very true.
But anyways, you know.
Gosh.
Incredible team, man. Incredible. Yeah, great album.
Fantastic ride. It was definitely a good one for me as well. All right, so we got a pick, don't we?
We do. We play the tune here. And in this corner, weighing in at approximately 180 pounds, the Ace of Apex, the Italian Stallion, the Ballad Boy. It's Anthony with his pick. Of the week.
Yeah, we're going to... I was going to initially do George Jones, but after Chris was having issues with the classic country, I didn't want to put him through it. And
okay, before you say this, the person that I had a problem with was Hank Williams Jr. doing classic country, okay? So go ahead.
I just didn't want to put Chris through it. I was trying to be nice because George Jones is very... It's like listening to Cattle Decapitation. You either get it or you don't. And that's a strange combination, God, but it's the very truth. It's the very truth. George Jones is not for everybody. He's not a universal like in Alabama or even this pick that I've got. You know, George Jones is very tough if you're not into that kind of music. And if you're not a country music person per se, Chris hasn't listened as much as probably me and Jimmy have. I thought George Jones might be a tougher listen. I always try to be the good guy on this podcast. I really do. I promise you. I don't just throw out Matchbox 20 to piss people off. I actually try to be a nice guy.
Matchbox 20. So, maybe Alice in Chains. Matchbox 20 is Alice universally loved too. In the 90s, man.
Anyways, no, we're going with the ultimate panty dropper next week. A guy that could, his dulcet tones could easily make panties just fall off naturally. They don't even get pulled off. They just drop. It's Kenny Rogers with The Gambler. And it's a great album. Really enjoying listening to this one. So it was actually my first concert. I texted my dad
really?
This week. And they said they thought Kenny Rogers in 82 was my first concert. Wow. I was about 10. So
is this Freedom Hall awesome. or was this?
I don't know where, man. I just remember him being in like on a stage, like walking around and like kind of like a Metallica kind of
leisure shoe.
People throwing bras at him, and he's just like,
man, that dude, Kenny Rogers. You know, he scored. Good God, that dude. He was a player back in the day. He's got that twitty vibe to him, you know. Or
he does
get that voice, much. You know. So Kenny Rogers, we'll do Kenny Rogers.
How dare you?
We'll do Kenny Rogers, The Gambler. We'll try and do it next week, I guess. Try and do it next week.
Are we doing it next week or the week after?
We'll see.
I got to see what my work schedule is. Hopefully, I ain't got to open next week.
I do have two movie recommendations if anybody wants them. I finally got around to seeing Talk to Me. Highly, highly recommend that movie if you haven't seen it yet. It's one of the better horror movies of the year. And When Evil Lurks is another one of the better horror movies I've seen this year. So, anybody wants a couple of good scary movies to bring in the Christmas season? Those are perfect.
Good
Talk
Lord.
To Me is pretty original. I didn't think I would actually see an original movie. It's always hard to find a really original ideas in horror sometimes. And they did it. So it's a couple of guys on YouTube that they got a chance to make a movie and they nailed it. That's all I can say. So Jimmy, I think you'd really like Talk to Me if you got a chance to see it.
I may have to check it out. Yeah, I dig some of this. I like some of this horror stuff that comes out that's newer. I mean, like some of the remakes for sure, but anyway, excuse me, what else you got going on this week?
I've got 3 episodes for Songlines recorded. I just haven't put them together yet. I've been getting slack on that podcast for some reason. So
that's all right, man.
I'm hopefully the next 3 to 4 weeks I'll be dropping some stuff. So Kenny Chesney starting it, then a couple like duets and covers is what I was calling it, where I do like a duet and a cover in the same episode, or focus on a duet Jimmy did and a cover Jimmy did. And so.
Cool.
Anyway,
sounds we'll like a good plan, man. Hopefully you get those things out here in the next couple of weeks. And that'd be great.
If I can get Equal Strain out, that'll be my episode number 200. And we'll see where it goes from there. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a great milestone. All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up for the week for the Audible Ecstasy podcast. This is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.